As many of you know, we're engaging in a series for the next few weeks entitled That the World Floods In, and it comes from this Frederick Buechner quote: "The world floods in on all of us. The world can be kind and it can be cruel. It can be beautiful and it can be appalling. It can give us good reason to hope and good reason to give up all hope. It can strengthen our faith in a loving God and it can decimate our faith." When we came across this quote, it seemed to capture so well so many of our experiences over the last 18 months that have felt so much like a both and, as there have been moments of joy and celebration alongside deep moments of grief and uncertainty. And so we have set aside several weeks to engage what it means to be living in this time of both and. We'll have sermons, but also hear stories from one another about our own experiences of life in this season. Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, indeed the world floods in on all of us. And in this season, it is good to be able to be together in person and online, to know that we are not alone, but are part of a larger community of people seeking to love and to live in this time. This morning, God, send your spirit in this place that these words may intersect where there is need. May they be filled with your spirit and not my ego. Pray all of this in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So a few years ago, we took a vacation that included a several-day stay in Portland, Oregon, not Maine. And apparently those cliche hipster vibes rubbed off on me, because I came home and immediately pulled out my old record player that had been collecting dust in the closet. And now I haven't gone crazy with it over these last few years, but my vinyl collection has definitely increased a little bit. I mean, is there anything better than Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon on vinyl? This is where Lenore would say, yes. I was reading an article the other day about how sales of vinyl exploded during the pandemic, apparently. In the first 6 months of this year, record sales almost doubled from last year, and outside of streaming has become the most popular format for music listening. And of course, over the years, sales have been increasing, but very few people expected that they would reach the level that they have, and so quickly. A change that has happened during the pandemic, and alongside all of the shortages that we are experiencing, it has definitely disrupted the industry. But of course, on the scale of disruption that we've experienced over the last 18 months as the world has rushed in on us, this disruption to vinyl barely matters in the grand scheme of things. And as we continue to process our experience, I've been thinking a lot about the uncertainty that comes with disruption and what has changed, and how we have changed and are changing. For example, I'm sure you've heard, but we are currently in the midst of what economists are calling the Great Resignation. In August alone, 4.3 million Americans resigned from their jobs. And of course, some of that can be attributed to people who were already going to resign but held off doing so during the pandemic, because in the midst of all of the uncertainty unfolding around us, the security of having a job and a paycheck and health insurance was too important. However, some of it is because of something called pandemic epiphanies. I only recently heard this term, but it refers to the existential reflection that many of us have been doing during this disruptive season of uncertainty and change. And yes, much of that disruption is COVID-related, but I think we'd be remiss if we didn't also name at least some of the other significant things that have unfolded alongside COVID. Collective experiences that we've had that have shaped us and impacted us and no doubt contributed to all of that uncertainty and these pandemic epiphanies. Political turmoil, massive anti-racism protests against police brutality, January 6th, a date we only need say to know what it means. Tribalism and division, debates about masks and vaccine mandates. It's all felt like so much to carry and hold, especially while we are all just trying to figure out social isolation or childcare or online school. I remember at one point people started tossing around the word apocalyptic, as in these are apocalyptic times. And not so much in that old school evangelical sense of fire and brimstone and destruction, but more in the sense of the Greek understanding of apocalypse, which is a revealing, an unveiling. These past 18 months have unveiled so much about us and who we are, our expectations of one another, and how we actually want to live together or not. And it has caused many of us to do some reflection, some reevaluation. As psychologist Anthony Klotz, the one who coined that term, the Great Resignation, suggests, there is evidence that people have been doing thinking during the pandemic in terms of how their life is going, asking questions like, what gives me purpose and happiness in life? And does that match up with how I'm spending my time right now? And many have had some epiphanies and decided they want to make some changes to their life. I've asked several people over the last few weeks, some of you here, how they feel they've changed in the midst of all of the uncertainty. And of course, there was the one person, no one from our community, but there was the one person who said, I don't really think I've changed at all. That person needs to do some shadow work. But everyone else was pretty quickly able to name at least one way that they felt after some reflection they had altered something. Maybe it was how they think about meaning and make sense of the world, or perhaps some interior work on those ever-present shadows that have become so much more prominent and present in the midst of all the uncertainty. Or maybe it was their outlook on life or some change in behavior or in relationship. Some people evaluated and even realigned their priorities. It's kind of a big question. And I was always surprised at how relatively quickly people were able to have a response. After just 30, 15 seconds of reflection, they were able to respond. For one person, they had decided to not wait anymore, to not put off doing this thing or saying yes to that invitation. Another indicated an unexpected but wonderful shift in how they understand and define community, less by geographical proximity these days as relationships developed. Another, confronting that sense of a loss of control and the challenge of planning for the future, particularly in those early days of the pandemic, talked about learning to be comfortable with uncertainty, learning to live in that liminal space of not always knowing. And often these pandemic epiphanies have been experienced as positive revelations that have come about through reflection and reevaluation in the midst of so many unexpected realities. It struck me that perhaps even when things feel so out of control, so uncertain, we do still have some choices. Author and theologian Diana Butler Bass recently wrote about the choices we have as we encounter so much uncertainty and upheaval, and all of it at one time. Endings and beginnings aren't easy, she writes. They don't just happen. There are choices to be made. Everywhere we turn, our lives seem threatened by apocalypse, COVID, climate, economics, politics. How do we live at the end of the world? We have choices to make. In the story in Deuteronomy that Kristen read for us this morning, the Israelites have come to the end of their wandering. After their liberation from Egypt and the brutality of the Pharaoh, they are made to wander in the wilderness. 40 years, we're told, they wandered around. They've experienced so much change and upheaval So much uncertainty, and now they stand at the edge of the Jordan, looking into what they have been told is the promised land, and yet still so much seems so uncertain. It's in this moment, after recounting all of the ways that God sustained them along the way, all of the ways that God's grace showed up in the midst of all of the upheaval, God's provision, even in unexpected ways, it's in this moment that God renews God's covenant with them. God says, I will continue to be faithful with you, my people. And then God says, see, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and holding fast to him. That way or this, Butler wrote, endings and beginnings aren't easy. They don't just happen. There are choices to be made. And in the midst of all of the uncertainty over the last 18 months, we have witnessed how people have chosen. And it's all over the map. Some have chosen to grasp at security, to do everything in their power to maintain a sense of control and certainty. We see this in our politics, in legislation, in school board protests, in the efforts to control how history is being taught. On the other side, others have been a little bit more comfortable with the uncertainty, more comfortable with the possibility of newness that might come in the midst of uncertainty. And the reality is, of course, that most of us probably fall somewhere in that messy middle. A little bit of both, sometimes trying to maintain some semblance of control, and other times conjuring up the courage to let go and imagine what might be. In many ways, the struggle with the last 18 months is not just the many changes to our individual and corporate lives and relationships, all of that uncertainty, but at least for me, so much of the struggle has been navigating the way people are choosing to respond to it in the midst of so much uncertainty, choosing the ways of life, or sometimes it feels more often choosing the ways of death. Organizer and author Adrienne Marie Brown writes, "How we live and grow and stay purposeful in the face of constant change actually does determine both the quality of our lives and the impact that we can have when we move into action together. Many of us respond to change with fear or see it as a crisis. Often this is because we aren't clear or committed about our dream destination. So instead of moving towards anything in particular, we are in nonstop reaction." In that moment at the edge of the promised land, as the Israelites stood there, there was still so much uncertainty before them, so much still unknown. The future was unclear. This was less an end to a journey and in many ways another beginning, with all of the uncertainty that comes with beginnings. God affirms God's faithfulness, reminds them of the ways God provided. For sure, almost never the way the people wanted or expected, but nevertheless, grace abounded. At times, it literally fell from the sky as food. And then God nudges them. Excuse me. Nudges them out into the uncertainty of new beginnings, with all of the choices before them, the ways of death or the ways of life. And I can't help but wonder if it's the uncertainty, the unknown, that lack of a sense of control that opens up the space to choose life. You see, as messy and challenging as it is, I think there is opportunity in the uncertainty. To be sure, we rarely experience it as a gift, but I think there is something possible that just isn't when we are certain about the future. when we feel certain about what's coming, when everything is controlled and secured for us. Sister Joan Chittister put it this way, certainty for all its guarantees demands a subservient companion. It comes at the price of both liberty and creativity. It nails our feet to the floor and calls it success. The wisdom of the night is a hard one to bear, perhaps. But the very matter of our discontent at the thought of change tells us there are other lessons to learn in life. It is, she continues, it is the spirit of invention and possibility to which uncertainty calls us. What uncertainty brings us to is the security of knowing that we finally developed in ourselves the ability to grow, to adjust, to become. I know a lot of the talk these days is about returning to normal, longing to get back to the way of life, to the way life was before March of last year. I have felt that and experienced that. Our first Sunday in worship together brought tears to my eyes. But I want to encourage us to be careful of that temptation, because normal ultimately was only great for some. And if we simply return to normal, we will have missed the opportunity in the uncertainty that has been our companion for the last 18 months, the opportunity of invention and possibility to which uncertainty calls us. Yes, those personal epiphanies, but also those more expansive public kind of pandemic epiphanies. So as we hold all of the mess and the grief, as we hold all the unexpected and the uncertain, as we hold all of the change, may we be vulnerable enough to name our fears, our struggles with one another, open to grow, to adapt, to transform, to become, as we too tell the stories of God's faithfulness in our lives, in our communities, and together, may we also, both and, also learn to hold our uncertain future with hope at the possibilities for life that lie before us. Amen.